So you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.
Is your business ready for growth? At Krogan Colonial Bank, we recognize the ambition of business owners like you. Our commercial lending services can provide the flexible financing necessary to expand your operations, invest in new opportunities, or manage your cash flow effectively. Don't put your business ambitions on the back burner. Turn to Krogan Colonial Bank to help you move your business forward. Krogan Colonial Bank, helping good people make good decisions. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, all loans subject to credit approval.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, I told you I was going to introduce you to our business panel. They're here. Linda Daly is a business reporter with the Sunday Times. And again, a former colleague of mine, Declan Ralph from the BWG Group, that's Spar, Mace and XL Brands, also joins us here today. You're very welcome to the programme, Linda and Declan. Linda, we might start with you. I've worked weekends for many years, so I don't really mind reading this headline out, that the key HSE staff have been ordered to start working weekends. It's on the front page of today's Irish Independent, with a story saying the fundamental shift for hospital staffing as HSE chief vows to tackle overcrowding. So there's a correlation here being suggested between availability of staff to work on weekends and hospital overcrowding.
Yeah, so this is an interview that Eilish O'Regan did with Bernard Gloucester, and I suppose really what he's saying is at the moment there's an 8 to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday routine. Consultants generally don't work at weekends. If you know anybody who stayed in hospital, they do not get out at the weekend because there's no consultants there to sign off. I suppose it makes, like, it's a no-brainer. There's a bit of an Elon Musk, the civil service go home at the weekend about it, but
I think these new contracts that have been signed with 6 out of 10 consultants have signed up to a contract up to €300,000, including evening and Saturday rosters. But a sample of hospitals over the last bank holiday weekend found only 1 in 10 were on duty. So there's something wrong there.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, Declan, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think you're right, Bobby. In the retail business as well, no stranger to having people working over the 7 days of the week. One of the things that Mr. Gloucester says is that the HSE are good at developing policies, but implementation is what they're challenged by. So this seems to have been around for a while. They're trying to put it in place now for the St. Patrick's Bank holiday weekend and get it up and running. It doesn't just apply, though, to the consultants, because you need the whole team. You know, you need everybody.
Part of the difficulty is the people have to go with it to provide the service.
Yeah, so you have the managers, you have the clerical staff, therapists, social workers as well. They need to work that 7 hour, you know, the 5/7 as well. So I think and also that what Linda mentioned there about people getting out of hospital at the weekend. I mean, if we think about it, A&Es are very busy at the weekend. There's more people coming in, but there's nobody going out. So that's why you get to Sunday night and Monday morning and there's absolute chaos.
Just before we leave the story, it is kind of interesting and I would say refreshing to see somebody like Bernard Gloucester talk about, you know, maybe not making the grade on disability service. Normally they don't do this. So I'm encouraged to see him coming out and at least sort of showing a bit of humility.
Yeah, I think he's very honest in it, Bobby,
yeah,
to be honest.
Which is nice
and
to see.
He's been very open, as you say, the little bit of humility there. He has a long career in the health service, so he's worked his way through a number of positions. So he understands, you know, the grassroots level as well as the overview and the management.
Yeah, absolutely. Linda, let's go to the White House now, or the expectation of the White House as we move into the gear now of the Taoiseach. The editorial in today's Irish Independent is telling us that the Taoiseach represents the EU interests on our visit to the White House, because he is the first EU visitor to the White House since Keir Starmer there a number of days ago. So there's a lot riding on this, and while we all have the confidence in Micheál Martin, at least I do, that he'll do a good job, there is that bit of unpredictability here that's coming right through in these two pieces that we're going to look at now.
Yeah, so there's an article by Kim Bielenberg as well, and I had anxiety reading it. I wouldn't want to be in Micheál Martin's shoes, I can tell you that. So there's a good line in the editorial where it says he needs to show nuance and nerves of steel. And I think it is going to be...
Three N's there, yeah, Micheál. Yeah.
Walking a fine line when you go to meet Trump. I mean, you can meet any sort of Trump on the day, you know, especially as Zelensky found out last week. So I suppose it really is kind of, he's going to have to bring up certain issues while also trying to avoid.
Yeah, one line that caught my eye in the piece was, at previous celebrations, including those that involved Trump from 2017 to 2020, the tone has tended to be one of good-natured banter that occasionally veered into paddy whackery. Maybe that's what we want. I don't know.
Well, Bigosh, I'm not sure, Bobby. Bigosh. Yeah, look, I mean, sometimes you got to play to that, don't you? I think the Americans like it. If it gets us in the right place and in favour, why not? Go with it, I would suggest.
Yeah, and some advice then from, previous in people who have been, I suppose, in the wings at the White House about, you know, how to really, there's an opportunity to, I think, seal a positive relationship with the vice president earlier in the day.
Yeah, there's a breakfast.
Which shouldn't be wasted.
No, there's a breakfast that usually takes place, which is always hosted by the vice president. So J.D. Vance, he'll be doing that. That normally takes place in the Naval Observatory.
A full Irish with J.D. Vance. I can think of nothing worse.
Yeah. But it will give Micheál Martin maybe get a chance to sort of get to know him a little bit and maybe see where he's coming from and maybe box off a couple of things before it gets into the White House proper.
No, I think of all the people you think that are going, I think Micheál Martin will do a good job there. But it's like he's going into the lion's den. It's unpredictable. Anything could happen, but...
There's a great line, Bobby, in the editorial at the end from Machiavelli, where the quote is, "Entrepreneurs are simply those who understand that there's little difference between obstacle and opportunity and are able to turn both to their advantage." So maybe both men could take that on board.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's stay with the States in a way, because, again, Cliff Taylor is telling us that Ireland is a small country that is doing a bit too well. Even the headline says it all there, and that we're right on Trump's radar. Linda.
Yeah, so good news this week. We're properly at full employment. We have been for a while, but it's down again to 3.9% unemployment is. But there's lots of warning signs here. And very worryingly, when Simon Harris was speaking to Marco Rubio last week, our side insists that nothing was mentioned about the economic imbalance, but it was in the notes. And again,
it's hard to see that the two of them were even at the same meeting, given their various interpretations of what was said.
And then again, when Trump was announcing this Irish-American Heritage Week, it was also mentioned, this trade imbalance. So it kind of would give you a bit of a sign of what's due to come up now over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Declan, it's interesting, is it not, that, you know, we kind of almost don't want too much good economic news here now, because it just exasperates this sort of tightrope that we're walking.
Yeah, it does. We're seen as a small country that's doing too good.
Yeah.
And not only are we upsetting the Americans, we're also upsetting our other EU partners as well, who sort of look in and say, what are those guys doing? And how have they got all this good economic data? And, we might get caught in that crossfire.
Yeah, and the real danger here, Cliff Taylor points out, is that, you know, Ireland is part of the chain of production in the pharma sector, which leaves the US with expensive drugs that bring little tax revenue from the big players. And also, then on the other side, Europe's regulation of the tech industry, where Ireland is quite central, also causes the Americans problems. So they're two key areas where we're vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're two very important areas for employment and for tax income and everything for government here. So one, certainly we have to watch that we don't get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Linda, FBD pre-tax profits fall to $77 million despite a year of growth. We're told in the Examiner, in the Times, we're told that that the profits at FBD dipped despite increase in insurance revenue and premiums. Now, this is a well-known insurance business, you know, strongly funded, but obviously has been impacted by Storm Dara, Storm Owen, and others.
Yeah, yeah. So they fell, I mean, slightly from about 81.4 million to 77.1 million. So not a huge drop, but...
still a decent result.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely was. I suppose the good news for climate change watchers is that FBD is saying that they're not expecting lots of Storm Owens anymore, that they come in clusters, apparently, and we're in the middle of a cluster, so hopefully there won't
be... That's a dangerous prediction, I'd suggest. Declan, what's your take on this story? It's a pretty solid performance.
Very solid performance. All of the areas were up. The total amount collected, the insurance revenue, you know, the actual income to the group, the policy count went up. So all the indicators were very positive in terms of income and going up in the right direction. Those weather losses obviously are what pulled down the pre-tax profits a little bit. The CEO, who's Tommaso Middick, my Irish, I'll have to apologise for. He also had a note of caution about the geopolitical factors. We're back to Trump again. And he said the US approach to international and trade relations is a likely source of volatility with the threat of tariffs and trade wars and all that goes along with it. So he's just marking everybody's cards,
yeah,
suppose, which is the job of the CEO.
It's good, as good a reason as any, I suppose.
Yeah.
Interesting appointment here. It's in, covered in a number of the papers. Safety expert Brennan joins Air Taxi developer, and this is Eamon Brennan, joins the board of air taxi firm Vertical Aerospace. Again, he's well known to us here, as he was the main man at the Irish Aviation Authority from 03 to 17. He's a man I know well, a man of great integrity, and interesting to see him now, Linda, with his experience joining this business. And it does show, does it not, that, you know, critical times in the growth of a business, they need particular expertise. And this is a case in point here.
Yeah, so the business Vertical Aerospace is electrical vertical takeoff and landing air taxis. So we can see our future ahead of us now. The idea of that we'll all be getting
Blade Runner stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think it'll be a while before I get on one, I tell you. But apparently, I mean, it's very popular. They've had to stop orders. Orders have been so popular. They've got 1,500 orders, but it'll cost $6 billion to build those taxis, you know.
It's interesting. That's a really interesting kind of dilemma, is it not? That you've got orders, but you don't have the money to produce them.
Yeah, yeah.
And also I see there was some turbulence with the original founder of the company, Stephen Fitzpatrick, stepped down as CEO. Donald Slattery, the Avalon man, was out, is back in again. So this is a... there's a lot at stake here, and I'd suggest that, you know, this Eamon Brennan's appointment is going to be critical to getting the licensing bit and the safety approvals over the line for these craft.
I think that's the real critical thing here, and that's his skill. And as you say, people need certain expertise at certain times, Bobby. So he says in the article that I'll be supporting Vertical in navigating the certification process and ensuring the VX4 becomes the safest aircraft on the market. Do you want to know what a VX4 really is? It's a four-passenger electric powered aircraft. So we could all get in and have a go and maybe take us from here over to the Aviva this afternoon, Bobby.
Is there a driver?
I hope there'll be a driver. So it takes off vertically and lands vertically.
And it uses the wings rather than propellers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds fascinating.
And it's great for the environment because it generates zero greenhouse gas emissions as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a business to watch. And as I say, backed by Avalon as well, I'm sure we'll be reading plenty more about it. Let's go to the car industry now. A couple of takes on this, Linda. Volkswagen want to produce this car now to recapture the Beetle glory days. So there's huge ambition around the ID Every One EV, which is somewhere between a Golf and a Polo, electrified, and is going to be priced at around 20 grand. So this is going to be the car for the people.
Yeah, quite affordable. It does seem small, 3.88 by 1.81 metres. So
about the size of a good bed, is it?
Probably. You'll have to try and get people out of their SUVs if they want to drive this. But I mean, it's a very good starting point, you know.
I'm wondering about the range of 250 kilometres, but maybe a small car like that, it's clearly seen as an urban car.
An urban car, probably. Yeah, it's a city car. The Volkswagen, we have an ID3 at home. They're a fantastic car, really good, very nice to drive, very easy to drive.
And they look great as well.
They look really good. The challenge here, I suppose, for Volkswagen is, and one thing they have to watch out for, this is not coming for another couple of years, till 2027. And of course, the Chinese rivals have got low entry, like the Hyundai Inster, which came in recently as well.
Yeah.
You know, they're already in this market at that price point. So they're going to steal a march, and Volkswagen will end up trying to catch.
Yeah, and trying to get your costs down in that scenario is never easy.
No.
Yeah.
I like one thing where one of the motoring editors in Germany said that VW say they want to make the front look like it has a smile.
Yeah, there you go. It's all about the radiator look. Yeah. The second part of that story just is auto-related, Linda. Musk's outstanding numbers are mostly losses. Some scrutiny now because he's becoming this political figure closely aligned to Donald Trump and all the work that he's doing there at the US Department of Government Efficiency. There's a knock-on into his business around this, which is pointed out here.
Yeah, Tesla sales have really plummeted in Europe. Not so much in Ireland. That first 2 months they were up actually in Ireland, but I'm not sure if that was due to when the deliveries came in. But it seems to people who maybe perhaps like things like climate change now, looking at Elon Musk, and he doesn't really kind of fit in with their narrative, I suppose.
It's also, you know, the lesson here for me is that, you know, you really are associated with your brand. And if you start doing stuff that, you know, people don't like, they just won't buy your product.
No, they just won't buy the product. And it's that association. So you do have to be careful what you say.
Yeah.
There's many instances of that down through the years where CEOs or founders said things about their brand maybe that they shouldn't have. Interesting as well, Bobby, that some 60% of his wealth is tied to the Tesla shares and options. So it's a big part of what he is, a big part of what keeps him going. So he would need to be careful or cautious maybe. Yeah.
The Irish Examiner tells us, Linda, that a blanket return to the office driven by broligarchs is in the US makes absolutely no sense, says Karen O'Reilly. What's she saying here?
Yeah, I suppose really. So, yeah, it's this sort of the tech guys calling for people to go back in 5 days a week. She's pointing out that people are more, perhaps flexible working arrangements make people, do more productive. There are some obviously benefits to working in the office, such as you kind of learn by osmosis. And I understand that, but perhaps maybe more flexible work arrangements. But also you should be careful because if you're advertising a remote job, what does that mean?
That's true, Declan. The third paragraph there have been many conflicting reports about whether remote work is on the rise or on the decline, mainly because of the ambiguity around the terminology. The truth is that 100% remote jobs are scarce, even though there is enormous appetite for them and from employees. Employers are not so keen to relinquish, as they see it, control.
Control, yeah. Have to command and control. Yeah, there's lots of different terms. You've remote work, hybrid work, compressed work weeks, job sharing, flexible hours. And it's, you know, the suggestion from Karen here is maybe a definition of each of these would be very useful for employees and employers.
What are we getting there?
What are we actually getting into? What am I signing up to? It also, the article points out that if the broligarchs are making this a US sort of company problem, maybe there's an opportunity for small SMEs here to get some of that talent and provide that flexibility.
Yeah, because we're told that the talent will move if it doesn't suit them. International Women's Day, last word to you, Linda. Four ways it pays to be female, and indeed maybe where it doesn't.
Well, I've been doing it all wrong, Bobby.
Yeah.
This article by Sinead Ryan in the Indo.
Our colleague here at the station,
So she explains how women can become more financial literate and richer, I suppose, wealthier, and starts off by marrying, which I've never done. So that's probably why I'm poor. So if you marry, you're more likely to save money on your taxes. If you get divorced, you should stay married, because if you get divorced, it's going to cost you money. If you have an affair, it's also going to cost you money. So I suppose the key is to be married. So I better go get myself a husband.
Well, we'll find one for you, Linda. And thank you for those wise words. Thank you indeed, Linda Daly, Declan Ralph. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the rugby even.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.